full team in the room today in the studio, and so we want to welcome you to join us. Pull up a chair, grab a cup of coffee if you are able to do that, and let's spend a little time together. We are going to get into the Word a bit today. Today is Passover, so we're going to give a little time to think about that and what that means to us as born-again believers, followers of Christ, and the importance of this season, the resurrection season in our life. The Apostle Paul addressed this season with words that said, if there isn't truth to the resurrection, then we are basically of all men most miserable. If this is not true. Well, we know it is true for sure that Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father. We are confident of that today. So we serve a risen Savior, and that is the reality. We serve a risen Savior, and he is in our hearts. We know that. My mother loved that song that so often we would sing it at the resurrection season period of time. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. And that part of that chorus, I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Well, welcome, David.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well,
I was back. It seems like I'm back here the last 2 weeks, you know, sitting at this mic.
That is true. We spent a lot of hours together. Karen, you seem to be mostly rested and all refreshed.
Yes, I am. Thank God for that.
So that's it's a great thing. And I know for our family who tune in off and on, many are kind and enjoy and stay with us and listen to what's going on. I have people that'll tell me on a Sunday following services, I listened all day. Like, oh my! I wonder if listening is as tiring as speaking. I think sometimes it is actually. So I kind of understand for those of you who are always listening to somebody else speak, that can be tiring too. But thank you so much to all of you, our family, who have stood with us for 36 years. Actually, our birthday is coming up this month. It's going to be on the 9th. 36 years, we'll be celebrating that. And so we want to thank all of you who have stood with us over the years, and some over the last hours or days. Some of you are just finding WCNO, and you're going to be blessed by this ministry. Others have been apart for 10, 20, 30 years. Some maybe more than that. We do have programs that have been with us on air for in excess of 30 years. We have some sponsors, business sponsors and partners that have been with us, I believe, close to 30 years. And so I'm kind of the newbie on the team. Karen, you've been here the longest, right?
Yes, I just had my 10-year anniversary celebration.
Mm. Yeah, and that was during prayer and cheer, wasn't it?
Yes.
So you got to celebrate your anniversary by spending long days here. And David, you are what, about 8 years or
nine years and counting? Well, November was my I forget the date in November. I probably need to find that out. But yeah, it was my ninth year here. Yeah.
And I can't believe that I've been here going on 7 years. Going to be very soon. So time does fly. It flies. I was going to say when you're having fun, but whether you're having fun or not, it still flies.
Still flies. That's right.
It's gonna fly by. So we do have a little bit of mail, and we're going to bring some of that in this morning from our season of prayer and share. But I want to start by just telling you how we finished off, and we do have mail coming in. So as the mail comes in, we're going to now move from saying this is what's been pledged and this is what has been donated. We're going to go to what has actually been donated. Mm-hmm. Because this is the way the pledges and the donations together were finished, and that was on Friday evening. And we got out of here shortly after 6. We worked right up till 6 o'clock, had a lot of wonderful calls. Some really miraculous things happened during prayer and share.
Oh,
we talked some about some of those times where it just was obvious to all of us that the Holy Spirit was here with us and orchestrating what was taking place, and it was quite wonderful. So we finished the $225,000 budget that we need for the next 6 months. We finished at $178,921. So we're $46,000 and a few dollars short of having met that goal. And we want you to be prayer partners with us. And I know many of you did not yet get your donation in. And so as you send those donations in, we'll be adding them in. And I would ask that you would just agree with us that God would take care of all of our budget, and we're trusting God with that. So we're well over the halfway mark. We're actually finished with, I think, 4 months. We were getting into the fifth month. So we have like the last 2 months of operations to raise. But we thank all of you who gave. Some of you, many of you gave sacrificially, and it was wonderful hearing from you, hearing your testimonies, and maybe we'll get to speak of a couple of those conversations that maybe were on the phone. So, Karen, what do you have?
Okay, what I have is a note from, this is Eric in Port St. Lucie.
Hey, Eric.
And he sent in a note saying, WCNO station is very enjoyable to listen to. God bless you all. Anything concerning the Lord, I am all in it.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
That's awesome, isn't
Thank
it?
Thank you for that note,
And
Eric.
He sent a donation in as well, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we received that.
Yep. And then also... Can I say who they are?
Sure, sure.
Yeah. So Paul and Nula.
Paul and Nula are dear friends.
Really wonderful people. They said, with every blessing and much appreciation, and they sent in their $350 donation.
That's tremendous.
So
it was
thank
tremendous.
Thank you for that.
Huge blessing and great, great leaders in the body of Christ.
Yes, they're amazing. And then we had an online, well, the email. I guess she went to the website. And she said, you can count on my support. I love this station. The music and programming are outstanding. And that's from Dee.
Thank you, Dee.
Yeah, so that's encouraging.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. And, you know, we try to read the mail, but we have mail still coming in, thank God. So if you have not mailed in your response or your donation yet, please go ahead and do that. And we will be able to share those on air. We'll intentionally look to do that during Wednesday Live.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Dave, I think you may have something.
I do. This came in as a donation from our dear friend Winifred in Boca Raton. She sent $100, and she says, I pray for you in the name of Jesus. May God bless you and keep you always in the name of Jesus. And she sends mentions her gift. Please pray for me. She's asking for prayer. That I get more hours on my job, and please pray for my daughter also in Jesus' name. Thank you in Jesus' name. Your partner in Christ, Winifred.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
And I would love to just offer up a prayer.
Let's do that. Let's lift that up right now in the early moments of our Wednesday
Amen.
Live.
Amen. And I don't know the daughter's name, but God does. So he's got all that squared away. Father, we thank you for our sister, Winifred, for the generosity that is truly of the Spirit, and it drives her, it guides her heart. Her whole life is full, Lord, of the richness of your grace, and she mediates your wonderful, perfect love, and we thank you for her. We do pray, Father, as we join her in praying, that she would have more time at work, that she would be able to put in more hours and earn a higher income. We pray, Lord, your blessing on her finances, Father, that you may have desires to bless her from means other than her job. And whatever it is you've chosen, Lord, we know in your time you'll manifest it. But we agree with her in prayer that this is a need, and we lift it up to you. And we do that in Jesus' name. And, Father, we also pray for her daughter. And you know the needs that the daughter has and where her mother's heart is focused on those needs. We pray a rich outpouring of your grace in her daughter's life. Starting today, perhaps, but all the days that are coming within which, you know, her daughter will need the specific releases of grace that you have planned for her. Whatever restoration, strengthening, refocusing, whatever wisdom she needs, whatever she needs, Lord, we proclaim, Lord, that you have her in the palm of your hand. You recognize her needs, and that in your most perfect time, you will meet them. And for this we rejoice, Father, as we come to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We had another, you'd asked me to read this, and I
sure
I got this several weeks ago, and it, for some, I didn't put it in my train of thought to share on the air, but
I believe it's important.
It is, and we thank Natalie, I'm not sure, I think this was an email, so I'm not, I think she's in Port St. Lucie, but Natalie is a listener and certainly listens to the Tuesday program, A Biblical Response, and she writes, says, thank you for such an amazing show today, A Biblical Response team. I'm encouraged by the Lord, by your faith and truth in this dark day and age. So grateful for your boldness and stance. May the Lord bless you and continue to lead and guide you all and supply for all your needs according to his glorious riches and kindness. Well, Natalie, thank you for that very encouraging note.
Amen.
And this particular, you know, this program, there's, because of the, we cover what's going on in the news through the lens of the Bible,
right.
And you know, we want really God to speak through that. What is being said, though, in light of the news does ruffle some feathers. It's not everybody's listening receives it joyfully. But that's the way it is with the Word of God, and we're grateful for our listeners that are tracking along with us. And so every now and then it's great to hear from folks like Natalie. And we know we're doing what we're called to do. And we're not called to make people comfortable as much as we're called to share the truth and enable them to hear it.
And that's very important. And it's great that we have WCNO, because this is a radio station where we are able to bring together local leaders, national leaders. We have a mixture of leadership that comes together. But to be able to bring biblical light on secular issues that are cloaked in darkness and bring some truth and direction, and I would like to say correction, to some of the mindsets and some of the behavioral issues that are actively being used of the enemy to destroy in our nation. And, of course, we as a nation, we haven't prayed yet today. Perhaps toward the end of our program, we'll be able to lift up our nation. We are at war, and this is a season where whatever side of the aisle maybe one is in because of culture, because of backgrounds, because of mindsets, because of anything else, I want to call you today to not get stuck in those places, but to come with me to the cross.
Amen.
Yeah. And to think about what really matters. And as believers, instead of being polarized in division, it would be awesome if we could have a global coming together at the cross to celebrate the greatest gift that has ever been given.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
The gift of life. And so, yes, the front line does address some things. Karen, you have a great program. Talk to us about Hidden Places. It's a great, great program as well.
Yeah, thank you. And again, you know, each of us, myself and then my three co-hosts, we really, you know, as each of us spends time with the Lord during the week, we hear from him and then we just come together and we just present our thoughts, you know, what we're hearing from the Lord, and, you know, so that the Lord can make his own picture of what he wants the listeners to hear. You know, it's, we're not coming, I mean, we come as individual believers, but with the intent of really letting the Lord speak what he wants people to hear through us, and, you know, that we would be a prophetic voice in this hour, and just saying what the Lord is saying. And somehow he meshes us all four of us together so that he can speak a clear word.
Your program is a program that pulls people into the presence of God through, there's a combination of prayer, there's a little at times, I think, some prophetic ministry that takes place, some maybe prayer prophetic and prophetic ministry that takes place. But there also is a handling of various issues as well. And I've come in a couple occasions and been listening and thinking, oh boy, I think God's going to give us a little spanking here today. And a little bit of that has happened. And you know, the ladies do it so nicely, David. You know,
they
do it nicely. And it's not condemning, but it is at times convicting. And the Word of God is at times convicting, and it should be convicting. I mean, there's no condemnation. So God is not condemning us, but God also does not condone unrighteous behavior either. So there is a process of correction and direction that takes place, and so it's very unique. Now, David, you have two programs.
I do, yeah.
And so how do you keep them separated? Do the lines ever get blurred, and do you find yourself sort of sliding into another topic, or how does that work?
Well, for the most part, you know, those sheep are held in two different corrals, right? Because they're very different.
But you have some of the same.
Well, we do. I mean, there's occasionally some crossover in terms of themes.
Right.
The Monday program, the front line, has to do with ministry. And lifting up ministries, individuals, groups,
right,
that are doing the work of the Lord, you know, whether they're wherever they are in the world or even locally. And on occasion, because the biblical response is directly focused on what's going on in the news,
right,
that is being observed and often is being frustrating to many believers. And so that we look at the news through the biblical lens. On occasion, we have a guest who's involved in that, whose life and ministry are focused on, for instance, patriotism.
Sure.
And what I would say, you know, Christian patriots, not Christian nationalists like the left wants to paint us, but so that's their focus in ministry. They come on and they address those things.
Right.
And so there's that crossover a little bit. But otherwise, we're two distinct formats.
Two different formats. Same God.
I do need, if I may, it's same God, yes. We're talking about biblical response, and every now and then we get a comment from people. There's only maybe one or two we've had, and I have to address this, and I always try to do it on the air on occasion with a biblical response.
Okay.
Because, you know, we'll have people and say, you're so connected to Trump. You love this. You worship this guy. I mean, I've had someone
really?
Call and say, yes, oh, you're caught in his thrall or whatever. Let me make something very clear. Number one, the scripture calls the people of God to not just recognize leadership that he allows. Presidents are part of that. God allows presidents, kings, whoever that has an authority to have that authority. As it turns out, and those who've been following the news know that President Trump is our president right now.
He is.
And the scripture calls God's people to pray for those people in leadership,
yes,
to respect the role that God has allowed them to have.
Right.
And so there's that. Secondly, and there's no room, by the way, not just in the church, but in anybody's heart, to hate anybody. And
yet,
some of the responses we get about when we do have to report about what President Trump's been involved in and talk about it from a biblical lens, there's really a character of hate. There's an aroma of that kind of negative passion. And I have to address that. If you are dealing with that, you got to get right with God. But we're doing what God has called us to do. And it just happens to be that Donald J. Trump's the president. Now, at the same time, we recognize how God has used him in his first term and how he's using him in his second term. And we have to point out, when we see the hand of God in the successes that have come through his leadership, which are evident to anybody that would be willing to look at. Anyway, not to get into, but yes, it does bother us a little bit when we get that kind of narrow-mindedness coming at us. And yet, and thanks to Natalie, she represents a much larger group who tell us, you know, really thank us for being prayerful, listening to the Lord, and addressing the issues, again, through the biblical lens. So anyway.
Amen.
Can I add something? Go ahead. Just back to my program and speaking about the president. when he announced on May 17th that you're going to rededicate the nation to God, the Lord really apprehended my heart with that. So May 17th, a lot of events are going to be happening on the National Mall, but in specific, rededicating America to God. And there's something very significant in that. So each week on Hidden Places, the Lord has had me look back at some of the, previous prayers and proclamations that have come, you know, through our history. And, you know, I'm going to continue to do that up until the May 17th. And so this Friday, I'm going to have Dr. Brenda McMenamin on.
Excellent.
And so we're going to be sharing about some of the early settlers and, you know, the people that really fought to develop or create this country. And so she's going to give some light on that, some of the history of that, and why it's important to, sometimes we have to go back in order to go forward. And, you know, we have to see the people that sacrificed at the beginning so that people nowadays will realize that we have to sacrifice in our day to further the country along.
And be willing to do that and recognize that our nation has a strong foundation of faith, people who are willing to lay their life down and not just God-fearing people, but godly people, mostly godly people that were in the formation years. And, you know, I was caught in traffic on Saturday by some of the No Kings signs and people that were on the street corners and out. And I have to tell you, I was really sorrowful in my heart that such inflammatory, abusive, condemning, critical, judgmental, nasty things were on those signs about our president. And it just shows me that we need revival in our nation. And our nation is divided, and I don't believe it's politics. I believe it's a lack of God.
Amen.
I believe it's a lack of righteousness. It's a lack of having the love of God in our life. And so as I was looking at those signs, and my heart was heavy, I still have a picture of driving through town, and one sign after another, I didn't see respect. I didn't see any kind of pray for the president, support our troops, support. I didn't see anything like that. Everything was absolutely negative that I saw. And there were hundreds of people. And I drove past that, and my prayer was, Father, how can our city have this many people this angry? Not recognizing whatever your background, whatever my background is, we're still called to pray for, to love, and respect those that are in office that are over us. And I just believe, looking at the news is going to promote all of that and make a really big deal out of that whole thing. And I don't want to say anything. I don't want to slam anyone. I don't want to slam anyone that stood in a picket line. I don't want to, that's not my intent. My intent is to say, why wouldn't you, if you disagree with everything the president does, why wouldn't you have a big sign saying, we need to pray for our president? Why wouldn't we do that?
Yeah.
And why wouldn't we say, I need to love with the love of God regardless? And so we do have division in our nation, but I believe it's spiritual.
Yes.
I believe it's spiritual. Absolutely. I believe it's light and dark. I believe it's good and evil. I don't believe it's left and right in a political sense. I think it's left and right like the sheep and the goats. And I do believe that we have a huge population that is very religious, but we need to come back to God, because obviously our hearts are not right The word says that others will know that we're Christians by the love we have one for another. And this season, I don't want to just park on all of that, but I want to come back to this season. Passover today, I want to call your attention to the cross. I want to bring you to the cross. I want to encourage you to think about what the cost is for there to be reconciliation. Mm. Reconciliation doesn't take place with a board meeting. It took place on a cross. That's where reconciliation took place. Reconciliation doesn't take place negotiating with demons and devils and unrighteous people. You cannot solve problems. You cannot resolve war. You cannot resolve hate. You cannot resolve bitterness and anger. You cannot do that with the natural. There's only one way that happens, and it happened on the cross. And it could only happen on the cross where the Son of God would die. And this is this celebration this week. And I trust that everyone who listens will be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Jesus came. Yes, it's understood that the coming of Christ, that there would be divisions and there some would hate the work that Christ did. We know that happened because he was put to death. But he came in love, and he offered the gift of salvation to everyone. And that's what this season is all about, the resurrection is all about. So I was looking this morning in my devotional time at a song that's entitled Lead Me to Calvary. And some of you may have grown up in a church with hymns. I did. We had gospel song books. We also had hymn books. And this was one of those hymns. Actually, it was written by Jeannie Hussey, and her life was 1874 through 1958. So, her death was a couple years after 1874 to 1958. Right, that's the length of her life. So our lives didn't really cross in that kind of a way. But in reference to this hymn, it's a hymn about going back to Calvary. Used to talk about Calvary. You don't hear much talking about Calvary today, but the whole discussion was, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And that's from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. So the hymn writer, the one who's making comments about the hymn story, tells a little bit about the death and the ancient church and how the dates are set and how it's celebrated in different ways. But one part of this I thought was of value for sure, wherein the statement is made, the cross of Christ is either a blessing or a curse, depending on our response to it. Either it leads to our eternal redemption, or it condemns us to eternal damnation. This is demonstrated by the two thieves who hung on either side of the Savior. One responded and received divine mercy. The other rebelled his way into hell. God never violates man's free will and forces his love on anyone, but he has never rejected anyone who cries out to him in believing faith. It is man who rejects God. It's not God that rejects man. It's man who rejects God and the salvation that he provided at Calvary. And this song just talks about, King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Next verse goes to show me the tomb, thinking about the tomb where he was laid and how the multitudes would have cursed him and stood there making accusations. And then, of course, we have Mary as she goes to the tomb seeking to find where the Lord was. And then the last verse, may I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all this for me. And the chorus of this song is, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget your agony, lest I forget your love for me, lead me to Calvary. And I would just encourage you this resurrection weekend to remember what Christ has done, to take this personally, and to recognize the greatness of God's gift toward us, and to realize that Jesus died for all men. He died for those who agreed and those who didn't agree. He died for all of them. And the cross is a very important part of our life and our ministry. In Exodus, I wanted to look at Exodus for a bit, and I'm just going to, we have about half of our program left, and I'm really hopeful that you will remember your God story and what is involved in that. Because when I go to Exodus chapter 13, and I see that the year and everything gets shifted because of Passover. So many of our Messianic Jewish friends are today celebrating. Sherry is away today. She's a part of that celebration. And so in Exodus chapter 13, then the Lord said, dedicate to me all the firstborn sons of Israel, every firstborn male animal, they are mine. So Moses said to the people, this is a day to remember forever. So David, Passover was not something to just be taken lightly.
Mm-hmm.
It was huge. It was huge. And to the Jewish nation, you may say, well, I understand why the Jews, why that's such a big deal, because they've been in Egypt for 430 years and they've been slaves, and so it's really a big deal for them to remember this. But I want you to understand that Passover is directly tied to Jesus, who is our Passover lamb. And so what we celebrate in salvation today is directly tied to the picture of the Passover. And so the instructions were given. I'm not going to read all the verses, but Moses said to the people, this is the day to remember forever, the day you left Egypt, the place of your slavery. And when I read that, I think that the date of my salvation was an important date. It's important today. It happened when I was 15 years old, quite a few years ago. And I look at that day. I think about that evening. I think about what was going on, how God awakened in me as a 15-year-old young man who was rebellious against God, rebellious against the Christian school, rebellious against my parents, literally running from God. But God was running toward me. And that's my story. At 15, thank God that God arrested my heart. Mm. It's sort of like he tackled me and arrested my heart, my soul, my mind. I remember that night, the thoughts that were going on inside of me. And I was thinking that maybe that would be the last time God would ever call me. I mean, there was a strong call. We used to talk about the convicting work of God that draws us to God. And that happened to me. It was powerful. And I was in a big church setting in Hope Sound. There were several thousand people in that gathering that night. And it was a celebration night with a lot of singing and a lot of celebration. There was not an invitation for anyone to accept Christ. And yet God was giving me an invitation.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend, you may be listening and say, I don't know anything about Passover. Or you may be listening and say, I grew up knowing about Passover, celebrating Passover. You may say, I don't really know anything about the resurrection. I don't know anything about the death of Christ. Or you may say, I grew up knowing everything about it. But whether you grew up with knowledge or no knowledge, the reality is the same. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's the plan, that no one should perish, but have everlasting life. And I do like John 3:17 as well, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Going to go to a song. We'll be right back in just a moment. And I trust that you'll stick with us as we move on through this hour. You are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. I know it's a different format today. This is Wednesday Live, but I am inviting you, encouraging you, actually challenging you to take time today to think about how great God's love is towards you and how we should respond. This song is entitled The Power of the Cross.
Son of God, one of us, for the shame of all, yet blameless. Innocent, heaven sent, for the sin of all, yet guiltless. And he saw us here through blood-stained tears, and he said,
and we're so glad you're listening today as we continue. This is Wednesday Live, a little different today. We're actually looking into the Word of God and calling your attention to think upon what took place at Passover. And in chapter 13, verse 8, during these festival days each year, you must explain to your children why you are celebrating. Say to them, this is a celebration of what the Lord did for us when we left Egypt? We're to have an answer. We are to equip our children to understand. And when our children ask those questions about why in chapter 12, the question is raised. When your children, then your children, chapter 12 of Exodus 24, remember these instructions are permanent, must be observed by you and your descendants forever. When you arrive in the land the Lord has promised to give you, you will continue to celebrate this festival. So right now, today, the festival is being celebrated, even though it's hundreds of years later, thousands of years later. And then in verse 26, it says, your children will ask, what does this mean? What is this ceremony about? And you will reply, it is the celebration of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the homes of the Israelites in Egypt, and though he killed the Egyptians, he spared our families, did not destroy us. David, we were talking about that our testimony is so powerful, it's so important, that our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, that this generation hears what God has done for us. Israel is repeating Passover. Why? They're still telling their children, this is what God did for Israel. And in my house, I want my sons to know, this is what God has done for me. You had some thoughts on that, David. Earlier you were saying, and I think, Karen, we were talking, that unless they're told, how are they going to have questions?
Oh, exactly right. And I was, well, what I was thinking of first is that you have to, as we read between the lines in that really command from God, is you have to be raising up your children to ask the question. Is that it has to be something on the tip of their tongue. Well, why are we doing this? And I was thinking today, you know, there's a lot of kids who are not asking that question because they weren't trained up to make that an important answer for them.
So we need to start if we haven't. It's not too late. Start wherever you are.
Exactly. Training up our children to know what's important in light of the scriptures, in light of what God is doing in the world. These are fundamentally critical questions for all of us. God had his people every year go through that same process.
And it continues. And Karen, you were just sharing some thoughts while the song was on about where we are as a nation and the significance of this season.
Yes, I've been having the sense that, you know, that the church has stayed out of politics or the world, so to speak.
While the world goes to hell, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like we're compelled. I feel like the Lord is compelling us to get involved in, you know, whatever capacity, whatever way that, you know, for you to advance the kingdom of God in the earth. You know, it's like we know what we have in Christ. We know who we are. We have our friends. We have our churches. But there's a whole world of people going to hell, you know, and whatever we can do to get involved, to influence people. And, you know, and for many believers, that's in government, that's in education, it's in all these sectors of society. If there are no believers in those places, then who's going to be making decisions? And I just feel like it's time for the church to get out of the church and get involved. And maybe the Lord has called you to be involved in education or some other area.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, well, you know, I need to do this and just stay with my church and stuff. No, get out there into the world. You know, how are the people going to see Jesus if you're not there? You know, we need to be that light shining in the darkness. So we've got to go into all these areas of society to make a difference. And I feel like the blessing of the Lord is upon the church to do this. And, you know, I had in 2016, not to get political, but like Trump or not.
it's hard to stay away.
But because this is just burning in my heart that the Lord had given me a dream, and I saw Donald Trump on a bulldozer, and he was carving out a path, a nice path behind the bulldozer, and the Lord said he's going to do the heavy lifting, and he's going to make the place for the church to come in behind him and fill in the vacuum, that so that God can use his people to advance the kingdom in the United States and, of course, in the world and that. But we have to get behind him. You don't have to like him or anything, but just see what God is doing. You've got to see in the spirit. We have to look in the spirit and not through fleshly eyes anymore. Like as you were saying, Jonathan, that it's not political, that we are in a spiritual battle, and we have to see it as a spiritual battle and fight it as a spiritual battle.
We're talking about Passover today and calling you to think about your day of salvation. Think about what Christ did. Think about the cross. Think about these things. And in 1 Corinthians, this is the passage where it says, Christ, our Passover lamb. Christ, our Passover lamb. This is not that Christ was just the Jewish Passover lamb. Christ is the Passover lamb for all of us who need to be saved. And at this point in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6, it addresses a condition that was going on in the church where basically sin had been allowed to come in. They were tolerating it. They were not really dealing with it. And the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, is saying how terrible that you should boast about your spirituality and yet you let all kinds of wickedness go on. Don't you realize that even if one person is allowed to go on sinning, soon all will be effective. Remove this wicked person from among you so that you can stay pure. Then it says, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. So let us celebrate the festival, not by eating the old bread. Remember the old life, remember the old ways, remember the old bread. But let's not celebrate just with the old covenant or with the old Passover means, but recognize that Christ is now, today, our Passover lamb. And so let us celebrate the festival, not by eating the old bread of wickedness and evil, but by eating the new bread of purity and truth. And so as we think about this and the leaven, Passover requires a season of removing all the leaven. That's not about going into your cupboard and pulling a couple boxes out of yeast. This is about getting in the closet. Yes, go to the closet. But get alone with God and say, Father, what in my life is hindering you from having full control? What in my life would you like to change? What in my life are you calling me to move closer to you in? What area of my life? And I believe the leaven does need to go. I believe the church is full of leaven. I believe my own life today, I believe part of the passion that's stirring inside of me, God is saying, Jonathan, I have a higher place for you. I want to call you to come up higher. I want the church to, yes, be the light. Karen, you're talking about the light. And to recognize that we've been hanging out in the bottle. We've been in the salt shaker. The church has become a salt shaker without any holes in the top. You ever been in a restaurant? You're trying to get salt out of the shaker. You're banging it with your hand and nothing is coming out. And finally, in frustration, you take the cap off. And then the whole thing goes bloop and drops on your food. Well, I believe we need to take the cap off and say, God, we recognize that it's time for the church to get out of the church building and engage with the world. Let the light shine in the darkness. Well, I have another song we're going to go to. We're going to be back in just a moment. And this is a little different today. This is Wednesday Live, but it's kind of WCNO's team live with you today. This song is Pick Up Your Cross. And why should we not pick up our cross?
Come pick up your cross to lay at his feet. For you because peace flows from his mouth to all who's
right, and that song was entitled Pick Up Your Cross, and so we certainly are personally sharing about that in the studio here just among ourselves. We're thinking about that, but we're thinking about today being Passover, thinking about the hours that led up to the death and, of course, the resurrection of Christ and the ascension. John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 1, it says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world, return to the Father. He now showed his disciples the full extent of his love. It was time for supper, and the devil had already enticed Judas. And we see that in the Gospels. It shows up. For example, in Luke, it shows up. Here's one of the 12. You think about it. In almost every one of the ministry settings, Judas is sitting there. He's there. He's participating. He's on the mission trips. He's on the revival meetings. He's on the raising of the dead. He's out there when they're feeding the 5,000. He's out there when they're feeding the 4,000. Judas is there. And you may be sitting in church, and you may be a Judas today. You may be sitting on the sidelines. You may be one who is hung out in the church your whole life, but you have never become a child of God. I believe this Passover, there's time now to become a part of the family of God. The day's going to come when your time will be up. The day's going to come, my time is going to be up. But today is the day of salvation. Today is time to yield your life to Jesus Christ. See, because I read in Luke chapter 22, that Satan entered Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples, and he went over to the leading priests and captains of the temple guard to discuss the best way to betray Jesus. So the betrayal did not take place outside of what we would say, outside of the gathering of the elite family. The elite family had compromise amongst it. And here is Judas betraying the Lord. You know the story of that. But the wonderful news is that Jesus died for people just like me and just like you. Not to leave us where we are, not to leave us in sin, not to condemn us, not to condone sinful behavior, but to give us life and to give us life abundant. And Karen, we did have this line that came out. David, this line came out earlier on, that it's time to choose you this day who you're going to serve. Time comes in our life where, for Judas, okay, it didn't work out the way he thought it could have or should have. Peter, he didn't behave like he said he was going to. Peter said, I'll die with you, Lord. You can count on me. So we all have sinned, okay? Let's just get that straight here now. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Judas, he wept. He went away, but he went and hung himself. And he introduced himself into an eternity without God, an eternity absent from God. The night that he left with is the night that he stuck with, but he will forever be tormented because he left without the grace and mercy that Jesus came to give. But Peter, what happened to Peter? He was in church too. He said, I'll never leave you. He cursed, he swore, and he ran. And Jesus said, if anyone denies me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. The enemy may be telling you, you have gone too far. Your sin is too big. You cannot return. Let me tell you, that is a lie. Wherever you are, the Spirit of God has tracked you down today and is saying, I want you forgiven, free, and forever a part of my family. Why not surrender your life today? And I would just ask you to join me in a little prayer, and I'll give a, we have about a minute for David and Karen to share. And after they share about a minute, we're going to close with a prayer inviting you to come to Christ. Karen, you want to share? You're clear, David?
Honestly, I'm clear too. I'm
okay.
Ready for prayer.
So, Father, there comes a time when you call us and it's between the two of us. This doesn't have anything to do with the church, the preachers on radio, the preachers on TV. This has to do with a God that so loved us that you gave your only Son and you allowed him to be hung on a cross, a cruel cross, a shameful cross. You allowed him to be stripped, beaten, blood poured down his face, blood and water poured from his side. His bones are exposed. His flesh is ripped and torn. But far greater than that is the weight of the sin of the world that he took upon himself, the sin that day, so we could be forgiven. That's your gift to us. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Right now, I invite you, Spirit of the Lord invites you. If you have not yet received the gift of life, why not receive that gift right now? God's calling you. Believe in your heart. I know that I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Forgive me, Father God. I believe Jesus came in the flesh. He lived. He ministered. He died on that cross. He was buried for 3 days. He rose from the dead. I believe he ascended to the Father and is praying for me. If you believe in your heart, the word says in Romans, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you're turning from your sin to God today, repenting. Repentance is what it's called, and receiving the gift. God said, I will come in. I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me.